Jairus was an influential man. He was wealthy, but his daughter was at the point of death. And he makes his way to find the Lord Jesus Christ, makes his petitions to him. And our Lord makes his way to Jairus' house and finally raises his daughter from the dead. In the middle of that story is another story. A woman with an issue of blood. While our Lord was on his way to take care of one request, he stops to take care of another need. Every miracle in Scripture that we call miracles has a lesson for us, a spiritual lesson, or many lessons for that part. And this is no different. So you have two people coming to our Lord. One a man, the other a woman. The man came for his daughter, the woman came for herself. The man was wealthy, the woman was poor. The man came openly, she came secretively. For the man, Jesus raised the dead. For the woman, he healed her disease. Both the man and the woman exercised faith, determined faith. Now you stop and think about this. He had become, for both these people, their only hope left. There was no place else. There was no one else who could help them. So our Lord deals with this woman while on his way to deal with Jairus' daughter. And that's what I want us to do. I want us to deal with this woman this morning and look at her. Most everything about her has a spiritual teaching for you and me. She is a beautiful picture for us, if you can call it beautiful, or a sad picture, I might say, of our condition before the Lord and our need to get to Him as she did. And most everything about her disease is a picture of our condition before the Lord. So let's begin to look at her this morning and see if we can't glean some things that will give us some understanding about ourselves and about the saving grace of God and the healing grace of God as it is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, let's look at her disorder. The Holy Spirit did not see fit to tell us her name, the woman's name who came to him. Some have tried to give her a name, but not really with any credibility. She had a malady. She had a physical disease. She had a hemorrhage, which was causing discomfort and suffering. But it also involved a social stigma. Her problem was not totally unique to her, because there were laws regarding her problem. The woman who suffered from this malady were treated, women who suffered from this malady were treated a little less cruel than if they were lepers. I'm not going to read the passage. I'm going to trust that you will go home and do it yourself, because it's very graphic. If you go back to Leviticus chapter 15, you can write this down, Leviticus chapter 15, verses 19 through 30, you will have a complete description of this condition. And partially what took place at that time when a woman who had these conditions. Now, she was not only physically impaired, she was socially impaired. If this was a problem with a woman, her husband divorced her. She could not go to the synagogue. She could not worship. She could not go into public. She was actually ostracized from public, as if she were a leper. The only thing she didn't have to do was go to a leper colony. But everything she touched was defiled according to the law. And everything you touched that she touched, you were defiled according to the law. So this was pretty serious stuff. And the laws were very, very firm about this. Now, this woman had contacted or got this disease sometime in her life, 12 years hence, quite literally. Now let's picture us with our disease. There was a time when you and I were holy. Not you and me personally, but our father Adam as our representative in the Garden of Eden. When he was created, he was without sin. But he became sick. He became defiled. He became a sinner, just as this woman did. Pain began to be felt in the bodies of people. Disease entered the body. The process of death began. Sorrow became the common experience of man. Peace was lost and happiness turned to despair. That's her picture. At one time she was healthy. Now she was sick. At one time she didn't have any pain. Now she's suffering. At one time she was accepted. Now she's rejected. Now she does not have any common way of going into the presence of God because she has been shut off. So here you see a woman who is desperate. She is desperate, and so are you in your sinful state if you are not in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ savingly. So let's look at some of the characteristics of this woman's malady and see this disorder she had and compare it to us in our disease condition. First of all, her disorder was incessant. That is, it was of long standing, 12 long years. Verse 25 says, a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. She had been hemorrhaging, literally, and the word literally means being with flow, for 12 years, separated from family and friends and synagogue. And man's disease goes further back than hers. Hers was 12 years. Yours goes all the way back to the day you were born. David said, I was born, I came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. Is that you? David is saying, I was a sinner from birth. All the way back to birth. As a result of Adam's sin in the garden, every person who's birthed into this world comes into this world a sinner in the sight of God. That means they are lost. You say, well, what about little babies? I believe in some fashion that our Lord redeems a baby when they die in infancy and they go to heaven. But they're sinners by nature. They're sinners by act. They're sinners by desire. That little old baby laying in that bed can't talk, but it can express itself. And it can express itself against authority. It will wad its fist up and turn red in the face when it doesn't get what it thinks it wants. That's you when you were a child. I've used this illustration before. You take a two-year-old, you don't think it's a sinner, and say, now don't you get on that bed. The minute your head's turned, what's going to happen? Rebellion against authority. That was you and me. It goes all the way back to our birth. And the only time our disease of sin can be relieved is when the Lord Jesus Christ applies His saving grace to our hearts and applies His atoning blood to cover our sins. So here this woman had this disease, and it was of long standing, and so is yours, and so is mine. Secondly, she came to a place where she recognized her disease. She comes to the Lord. It was incessant, and she began to wonder what she's going to do. So she goes to the doctors, and she spends most everything she has. That's what it says in verse 26. And she had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all. Watch it now. And she had spent all at them and had grown worse. She didn't grow any better. She got worse. What do men do when they begin to see that they're a sinner in the hands of God and before God? They won't go to the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't either. You began to try to fix your disease of sin in your own abilities. Well, I'm going to do better. I'm going to quit this and I'm going to quit that. And I'm going to get better. I'm going to make myself acceptable before God in my own strength. No, you're not. That's impossible. You can't do it because your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, the Scripture says. There's nothing in you that's acceptable before God by nature. You can't make yourself better. You can't make yourself do anything that's right because you don't have the ability. You do not have the ability to do right apart from the grace of God. Now, I know that's startling to us sometimes to think that. Because everything you do is tainted if it's not done in the will of God, for the glory of God, by the grace of God. It's tainted. It's tainted by your sinfulness. And most everything you do that you think is going to help you is done out of selfish reasons. You're doing it for me. And I taught a little bit Sunday school this morning in the book you've been studying in one of the classes. The whole book is God is the Gospel, which teaches very, very vividly, very, very straightforward. And I think it's very good when you, if you read that book and study it. God is the Gospel. When you look at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you see nothing but what it's doing for you, you've missed the message. You've missed the meaning of the cross. The cross is that which we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ enables us by the redeeming grace of God to see the glory of God that we might glorify Him. That's the main purpose of the cross. What is the duty of man according to Scripture? We talked about this. It's to glorify God. That's your first and foremost duty. You cannot do that apart from the grace of God. You can't do that apart from the redeeming grace of God. You can't do that apart from the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You don't have the ability because you're a sinner by nature. Only as He comes in and begins to dwell in you can that happen. So that's our sinfulness. And this woman was just as helpless to cure her disease by all of the worldly wisdom and all the physicians she went to as you are to cure your disease apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty bad shape to be in, isn't it? But that's where men are. Now, what we have done in our society and in our generation to some degree is that we have made humans the instrument of their own cure. And we've done this by emphasizing the human ability over God's grace. Oh, all you got to do is do this. All you got to do is do that. All you got to do is do this. Oh, if you just have faith. Well, where does faith come from? Faith's a gift of God. You can't even produce your own faith. She had a disorder and it was of long standing. Secondly, her disorder was internal, and so is yours. It manifested itself outwardly, but her disease was internal. It was a flow of blood that came out. That's your condition too, isn't it? Out of the heart come the issues of life. Mark 7:21-22, listen. From within, out of the heart of man proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murderers, adulterers, deeds of covetousness and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. Where does that come from? In here. It's internal, isn't it? So our problem is not outward. And here's the great danger we make. If we aren't awfully careful, we don't turn ourselves into a bunch of legalists and preach that people have got to quit this and got to quit that and got to quit this and got to quit that. You can do that and you can get people not to do those things outwardly, but have you solved their problem? What did I knock over? Have you solved their problem? I don't think so. Because their problem is internal, like hers. It's in the heart. Out of the heart come the issues of life. Out of the hearts where all of the seat of wickedness lies. And it manifests itself out in our actions. So what has to happen for us to cure our disease? The heart has to be changed. Right? What does the prophet say? The Lord will take the old stony heart out of you and do what? Put a heart of flesh in you. That's conversion. That's regeneration. That's salvation. That's being born again. That you may be able to do right. So her problem is internal. So is yours. Number three, by human wisdom or ability, she was incurable. And so are you. Apart from the grace of God, apart from the mercy of God, apart from the acting work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, apart from regeneration, apart from the new birth, which is authored by God Himself, not by you, there's no cure for you or me or anyone else. Neither was there for her. She spent all she had and was no better, but she got worse. That's the next thing. Her disorder increased. Did get better. She suffered much from the hands of physicians. She spent all that she had seeking a cure from worldly wisdom. She grew worse. And Luke, a physician, said this. Look at the book of Luke telling this story. He says, she could not be cured by anyone. Speaking of human wisdom. You see how desperate she was? You see how desperate she became? She had tried everything there was to try, and she found out it didn't work. Nothing helped. And there was only one hope. Now look at her determination. Faith arose in her heart, and she became determined to get to Jesus. Now notice, this woman's an outcast. She's almost like a leper. If anyone knew that she had this condition, they would have been very troubled. But she comes up behind him. She slips up in a crowd. There was a crowd there. And she reasoned in her mind, we'll see in a minute, if I could just touch him, if I could just touch his garment, I'll be healed. Now you talk about faith. That's faith, folks. That's faith. That's faith that she didn't get within herself. How did she get it? Well, listen to what it says. It says that she heard. Look at verse 27. After hearing about Jesus. How does faith come to you? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Isn't that what Paul said? So she heard about Jesus. She heard enough about Jesus that the Holy Spirit gave her the ability to exercise faith. If I can just get to Him and touch Him, I'll be cured. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever gotten so desperate in your sinful condition before a holy God that you had faith created in your heart because you heard the gospel and recognized that in Jesus Christ there was ability and a willingness and you wanted to get to Him? At all costs, it didn't make any difference what people thought, how they reacted. I want to get to Him. I want to trust Him. I want to obey Him. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit works in the heart of a sinner to reveal faith to that person and give them the ability to come to Christ, you don't have to beg them down an aisle. You don't have to sing 15 verses of a hymn. I guarantee you they can't wait till you give them the opportunity to get down there and confess faith before men and have them to rejoice with them. And if the aisle is full, they'll come over the benches. You don't have to beg people to come to Christ once He works in their hearts. They want to come. They're ready to come. They'll go at any cost. She came at all cost. If I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be cured. That's what she said. Men must hear the gospel which contains the cure for their sinfulness. This woman, no doubt, heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. What she heard, I don't know. She heard enough to create faith in her heart, I know that. And she knew that it was her last hope. Now listen, she'd tried everything else. And not only did it not help, but she got worse. Have you ever seen people trying to be religious? And rather than getting better, they get worse. Yeah. They get worse. Well, I'm going to try to quit all these bad habits. Do they? No, they usually get worse. So she heard. Notice now her actions. She heard about Christ. Second thing, she heeded. True faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a funny thing. It cannot be stopped by men, and it will not be denied by the Lord Jesus Christ. True faith is powerful, and it persists. It doesn't stop. It just goes. It's determined. She reasoned. Look at verse 28. For she thought. Here's her reasoning. She thought, if I can just touch His garments, I'll get well. She reasoned in her mind. She heard the gospel. She began to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. She reasoned in her mind, if I can just get to Him, if I can just touch Him. Then she responded. She reasoned and she just... Now, there's nothing unreasonable about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based on knowledge. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Holy Spirit gives us understanding of that, guess what? We reason in our minds. We begin to see in Him His glory and His grace and His mercy and His love and His compassion. We see in Him the only solution for our sinfulness, and we make our way to Him. We're determined to get to Him in faith and trust and commitment. There's nothing unreasonable about this kind of faith. It's reasonable. Oh, brother, you just got to have faith. Faith in who? Faith in what? Based on what? Faith is not naked. It has a substance. It has a foundation. And the foundation of true saving faith is truth. And it's knowledge. And it's knowledge about a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Her disorder was incessant. It was internal. It was incurable. And she was in earnest because she tried everything. And her problem increased. And she finally made her way to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at her determination in verse 29. This is, you know, you just look at this whole story. It's a picture of us. Immediately, the flow of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Notice two things in that verse that takes place in every believer's heart when they come to faith in Christ. First of all, they know something happened to them. They have a knowledge. Immediately she knew and she felt. Yes, there's emotions associated with salvation. Absolutely. There's emotions associated with healings. Absolutely. But I first know something and that creates an emotion within me. Just plain emotion won't get you anywhere. I can tell you a sad story about grandmother's little dog that got killed old, got run over by a dog out on the road, and she brought it in and started petting and get all of you crying. That's emotion, but that's not salvation. Many of you, not a week or two ago, watched a ball game. And I'm guarantee you that sitting in your living room, some of you came out of your seat with emotions. But that's not salvation. Salvation is based on knowledge and understanding of a person. You cannot know the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot know Him savingly. You cannot know Him and His curing of your disease and forgiving you of your sins and making you acceptable before a holy God without being emotional. It just is. You rejoice. And true rejoicing usually brings tears of rejoicing, doesn't it? Yes. She came. Not wanting to expose herself, she didn't come publicly as Jared did. She slips up behind him and with trembling hands, but hands of faith, touched his garment. Just a touch of faith. And immediately, that quick, it happened. She found her cure. When you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately. There's no lapse time. It's then. What we call a punctiliar act. It happens right then. And the amazing thing is this. It can never be reversed. When the Lord gives you forgiveness and healing for your soul, it cannot be reversed. He said that. I give unto my sheep what? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. None can pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father is greater than all. Folks, I'm in the hands of a sovereign God. He's redeemed me. He's applied His precious blood to my soul. And all the men of the world put together can't change that. It's sealed forever. I'm His. She found her healing after having suffered 12 long years, physically and socially and emotionally and spiritually. And after having spent all she had seeking a cure from the wisdom of men and was no better but became worse, she heard of Jesus and she was determined she was going to get to Him. And she did. And she found her cure. Notice Jesus' response very quickly here in verses 30 through 34. Immediately Jesus perceived Himself in Himself that the power proceeding from Him had gone forth, turning around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" Now think about that a minute. There's a crowd all around Him, a multitude. Everybody's pushing up against him. And he turns around and says, "Who touched me?" There was a difference in people crowding up against him and a touch of faith. Big difference. And he knew it. He knew it. "Who touched me?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole story. You know what happens when the Lord saves a person? They become honest. They become honest. She came and dumped it all. You think that surprised him? No. He knew who touched him. Our Lord often did things for us rather than the person for himself. And here's one of those cases. He wanted us to see what would happen to a woman who had been cured and come and confess to him. Amazing. Amazing. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." See that compassion, that love that's expressed there? No one has ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and been turned away. Not a single one. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and him that comes to me, I will not cast out or turn away. Here's a case in point. A lot of people around him, but it seems only one came in faith. Only one. And she was healed. Her disease was incurable by human ability, and so is yours. Her disease was internal, so is yours. She made efforts to be cured, so have you. She grew worse, so have you. She heard the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, so have you. She acted in faith. Will you? She received a cure. So can you. She publicly proclaimed it. And so will you if he ever saves you. Right? Right? I have tried and tried in vain many ways to erase my pain. Now all other hope is past. Only this is left. At last, here before thy cross I lie, here I live, or here I die. That's faith, isn't it? That's commitment. That's surrender. Have you done that? Have you come and done that? D.L. Moody was preaching in England. And he said, "I want you to write a letter to the Lord." You've heard me tell this before, probably. He said, "I want you to write a letter to the Lord. I want you to write this letter. Lord, I've heard your word preached, your gospel proclaimed. And I've heard the invitation to receive it. I will not sign your name." Or write this letter. "Lord, I've heard your gospel proclaimed. I've heard your word expounded. I heard your preacher give an invitation to come and receive that truth, that love, that forgiveness. And Lord, I will. I do. And sign your name." You know, every time the gospel proclaimed, you do one of those two. Every time. You either say, "I don't want it," or "I love it. I receive it," or "I reject it." So do you, every time. Father, thank you for leaving us stories like this in your word that clearly instructs us where salvation is, where forgiveness is, where healing for our souls lie. And that's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, by your Spirit, to come to Him every day of our lives, even though we're redeemed, confessing our sins and receiving that cleansing. And Lord, especially if there's those here, and I believe there are, who's never confessed true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, may this be the time you work in their hearts. Give them the courage that this woman had to publicly confess it as you've commanded. In Jesus' name, amen.